maningo ya la la ya la ya ya yo ho ya yo
ba 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 ba
ya ra me wen jara re yo na ningi robe nya barayi Merumianga ini joye, enggak sesa. wenganyerwa wenganyi chogi o baba nemerumya nejoye hengesesa wenganyerwa wenganyi ishogi o baba nemerya nejoye hengesesa wenganyerwa wenganyi ishogi o baba nemerumya nejoye hengesesa.
Side gospel right here. This is first time outside of Tanzania. There's some crazy shit going on in Tanzania right now. So it's a privilege and an honor for me to be working with this dude. He's a bona fide warrior, shepherd, Maasai. And there's what's going on with a Maasai right now in East Africa is what's been happening with the Native Americans and indigenous people. They're being kicked off their lands. So yes, there's a resistance going on, as with this place, Oki, Gaza, Coptic Egyptians, Sudan, everywhere, Amsterdam. So we're here representing, bringing you something of what's going on in Tanzania, because it's not in the news. They've been killing people. So watch out for the news in Tanzania. But anyway, the main message is not fear. It's about courage. Because these dudes, these warriors, all the songs are about courage. For everybody.
I'm Do I hear you? Kuhamisha na kuhifadhia mavazi yao. Wakina mama wanafaa wakati wa matukio kama wakati wa sherehe, kupokea malaiboni na madawa magome ya miti. Ilikuwa tunatumia tosogonoi. Walikuwa nyeli kuosha vigo kwa watoto na watu wakubwa. Nyingezi na tumesoa pia pombe za asili na hatimaye natumaziwa kwa magonjwa homa mbalimbali na hatimaye na dawa nyingine hii kusaidia kuosha damu na hatimaye pia na kufanya tilisi kidogo hata mambo yaendelee. Na ni vitu ambavyo tunatumia kwa wakina mama na vijana. Tunatumia damu ya ng'ombe. Tunapiga hii mshale ambayo tunapiga ng'ombe akiwa hai.
Yeah. conditions. Your skull is made of bone and serves as a hard, protective covering for your brain. Just inside your skull, three layers of tissue, called meninges, surround your brain. The thick, outermost layer is the dura mater. The middle tissue layer is the arachnoid mater. And the innermost layer is the pia mater. Between the arachnoid mater and the pia mater is the subarachnoid space, which contains blood vessels and a clear fluid called cerebrospinal fluid. Blood vessels, called bridging veins, connect the surface of your brain with the dura mater. Other blood vessels, called cerebral arteries, bring blood to your brain. Inside your skull, normal brain function requires a delicate balance of pressure between the blood in your blood vessels, the cerebrospinal fluid that surrounds your brain, and your brain tissue.
I'll tell you who I am. As to whether or not you believe who I am or not is up to you. I'm from kingdom level above human. What does that yield? That yields immediately that the vast majority, say, cult, some religious radical, some blasphemous individual that wants to take advantage of people, you know, has some big bank account somewhere that they're taking whatever possessions that...
We should have each other with cool. Then could have been a fire and sleep for a while. It's a pervious thing. It's the perfect dream. Into the sea, you and me. All the years and no one heard. I'll show you in spring. It's a treacherous thing. We miss you.
Love, Or you decided to floor all the way to Las Vegas, leaving you slumped on the ground dying from hyperthermia. And then there's the risk of seizures. This can also happen on your first ever crack odyssey, especially if you hit that pipe hard. Be stoned every day of the week. You obviously don't have to be a chronic abuser to go down with a seizure. But let's say you survived your first night on crack, and like so many other people on the planet, you gave it another shot. While crack isn't as physically addictive as a drug like heroin, it is very, very psychologically addictive. Although we particularly like the term acute exhaustive mania. Dying more often than coked up rats allowed to run around and do drug-fueled rat things. So now you've been on crack for a while, you've experienced paranoia, your heart is becoming damaged from the constant work it has to do, but you've also noticed it's becoming a bit harder to breathe. The reason for that is a thermal injury to your throat. After all, you have been taking in really hot smoke all day for months on end. The other day, you passed out and you had to be taken to a hospital. Doctors told you that you had crack lung. The symptoms are a bit like pneumonia. An acute case can happen up to 48 hours after your last smoke. Another symptom of smoking crack day in, day out is bronchitis. You could also get chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD. So after that initial rocket ride, things are not looking too good these days, but it's gonna get worse. Your teeth have started falling out. For one thing, since you started smoking crack, you don't care much about dental hygiene. All that really matters to you is getting your next rock. On top of that, you spend much of your life clenching your teeth while you're high, which has weakened them. And then the crack constantly entering your mouth means less saliva production, and this also is bad for your teeth. Then came the constant stomach aches, which are a result of what's sometimes called crack belly. Reduced blood flow to all your organs is not good, and that includes your gastrointestinal system. Your rocket ship is broken. The FBI is still in your garden, now armed with Mossad agents, Osama bin Laden, and Mr. Snuffleupagus from Sesame Street. And the fact is, at some point you probably ran into fentanyl-laced rocks and you might not wake up from them. If you get out now, you might be able to reverse some of the damage you've done. Once the money runs out, you might end up like 46% of users in a study in the U.S. who committed a violent crime to get more crack. Crack messes with your brain's prefrontal lobe, the part that regulates impulse control. So doing something stupid to get your next hit becomes more possible. Sure, if you stop now, you'll experience intense anxiety and cravings during the initial crash, and there will be a period of intense depression, anxiety, and even some hostility and paranoia, but the sun will come out again once your brain regains its normal non-crack-addicted circuitry. Just don't go back on it again. If you do, you might experience the kindling effect, which means a lot of the psychiatric symptoms, the paranoia, the seizures, the psychosis, and suspiciousness seem to happen with lower doses. Now you need to watch The Real Reason Fentanyl is So Deadly, or have a look at the only drug you can't survive.
A bank Robin Hood who baffles the cops.
Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto their prayer that is made into this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be perpetually there. I declare that this place is sanctified. I present my body as a living sacrifice by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, my Savior and Redeemer. Make these prayers holy and acceptable unto you. I confess my sin and the sins of our fathers. Let grace
your doctor
and mercy
make a
prevail
piece
over
of bone
us.
Called a bone flap.
I have a free passage for my
and
prayers
remove
to ascend
it
into the realm of the supernatural.
Your surgeon will make an incision
bound
in the dura mater to expose your brain.
I am seated in heaven.
Then your tumor will be removed.
Therefore, war from this
the incision in the dura mater will be closed with sutures.
The anointing of God breaks every yoke.
Your surgeon will reattach the bone flap with metal plates and screws that will remain in your skull for life. You may have a variation on a craniotomy called a craniectomy if your brain is very swollen or your skull is infected. Your surgeon may delay reattaching the bone flap until a later procedure to allow time for the swelling to go down. At the end of either a craniotomy or a craniectomy, your scalp incision will be closed with staples, and your head will be wrapped in bandages.
In my mouth as I advance in this prayer. I take authority over demonic satanic atmospheres and climates created by activities, destiny altering images.
vermetele onwetende, weet dan dit, die ogen heeft, die horen, dit is geen uitzending van glorie der mensheid. Er staat geschreven dat deze woorden gesproken hebben.
Dit is geen uitzending van glorie der mensheid.
Interrupt our normal program to cooperate in civil defense measures as requested by the government. This is a radio alert. Normal broadcasting will now be discontinued for an indefinite period. Civil defense information will be broadcast in most areas on your regular radio receiver. I repeat, normal broadcasting will be discontinued for an indefinite period. Civil defense information will be broadcast in most areas on your regular radio receiver.
Yeah. dan is de tijd rijp voor glorie der mensheid. Van grootheid, roem en kracht. Van macht en van gerechtigheid. Voorwaarts met glorie der mensheid, die met ons zal zijn, zoals hij ook met en bij onze vaderen was. Voorwaarts. Zijn oder nicht zijn, heeft Wilhelm gezegd. Leven of dood. Er komt een dag na elke nacht. Voorbij trekt iedere wolk. Ik zie hoe het eerste morgenlicht door het hoge venster draalt. De glorie der mensheid maakt mij het sterven licht. En zo ik heb gefaald, gelijk een elk wel falen kan, schenk mij dan uw genade. Opdat ik heen ga als een man, als ik voor de lopen sta.
Als u na dit schokkende programma behoefte aan hebt om met iemand te praten, bel dan gerust dit nummer 035-8388.
Gaat en onderwijst alle volken.
This is episode 443 of the Anarchist News Podcast, a digest and or conversations on anarchist activity ideas and comments from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. This is for the week of November 15th through November 28th, 2025. What's new this week? Interview with anarcho-syndicalists from Russia on mobilization and repression from Antimilitaristica Iniciativa. Overstatement to call this an interview. This is a few questions about conscription and related events in Russia these days. Anarchy is not mentioned once. This is strictly about anti-militarism. Oh, and some worker stuff, of course. If you haven't read anything about current-day Russia for the past, oh, let's say 3 years, then this might have some info you haven't heard before.
The liberal capture of anarchism from the polar blast, should I say, blast. There's an at sign, and I want to be true to that.
Trust the text. Follow the text blindly.
Well,
only do what the written word tells you to do.
That's every day. Quote, anarchist class war news and views for Aotearoa, unquote. Aside from what I consider some hyperbole, this is a fine complaint about the ease with which some so-called anarchists fold themselves into the left. While voting and electoralism are mentioned, the marker this group takes as the ultimate indicator is whether someone maintains a clear anti-militarist stance. Quote, once anarchists accept the legitimacy of war, they have surrendered their last meaningful distinction from the statist left. The result is an anarchism that obediently follows the emotional rhythms of Western media cycles, outraged when instructed, supportive when instructed, silent when instructed, instead of maintaining its own anti-militarist compass. Unquote. Hesitant as I am to promote something from a class war group, this piece makes plenty of good points. I'm sure someone you know could stand to hear some of them. That was The Liberal Capture of Anarchism.
A call for international solidarity with Alfredo Cospito from Abolition Media. This gives a thumbnail about the arrest and sentencing of Cospito and Beniamino, and Cospito's hunger strike against the policy of 4-1 bis, which is cruel and unusual even beyond the normal. There's a meaningful court date coming up in May 2026. Quote, we have nothing to ask nor hope for from the state. In fact, we are its enemies, and it treats us as such. In recent years, several trials have begun against comrades accused of participating in the mobilization in various ways. This demonstrates once again that one of the main aims of repression is to attack solidarity. This should not cause us to withdraw, but rather provides an opportunity for a new beginning. We want to continue the struggle with Alfredo against the prison regime that has him locked up so that he knows, despite his total isolation, that his comrades are there and will not leave him alone. However, we also want it for ourselves. We conceive of active and combative solidarity with prisoners as an integral part of the perspectives and projects we develop toward anarchy and against the prison society in which we all live." Unquote. What does solidarity mean?
Attack!
Right? Right?
The feds want to make it illegal to even possess an anarchist zine, from The Intercept by Seth Stern. Another article naming anarchists and the increasing repression from the feds. Quote, "It's an escalation of a familiar tactic. In 2023, Georgia prosecutors listed zine distribution as part of the conspiracy charges against 61 Stop Cop City protesters in a sprawling RICO indictment that didn't bother to explain how each individual defendant was involved in any actual crime. I wrote back then about my concern that this wasn't just sloppy overreach, but also a blueprint for censorship. Those fears have now been validated by Sanchez's prosecution solely for possessing similar literature." Unquote. Ellie Stern is fairly bipartisan in informing about heads of both parties undercutting or just ignoring free speech laws. Makes sense that a journalist would be worried.
Statement regarding the attack by the left-wing Paris state on the Athens Polytechnic from Act for Freedom Now. A more detailed and also more jargony rendition of the fucked-up attack on anarchists by uniformed militaristic leftists in the group Arras. This piece makes some cogent points, but also assumes some common information that non-Greeks are unlikely to be familiar with. Quote, "The open occupation of the Mekanor Giayo building came to fruition in defiance of the times and against the silence of their sterile world, because the left remains resoundingly silent about the necrosis of the Polytechnic complex, while the fascist university rectors transform the Polytechnic into a panoptic shop for the obedient and an academic island for business. For an entire day, the historic site of Mekanor Giayo building was once again filled with activists, students, and visitors who were simply wandering around the historic site. Mass meetings of the anarchist movement were hosted, and a telephone conversation was held with political prisoner Dimitris Hatzivasiliadis about the history of the Polytechnic occupations and riots since the 1990s. The space reopened and came back to life because anarchists historically open closed spaces, those that the state, in this case through the university authorities, excludes from society through controlled access, and which state security forces such as Arras, Knat, or the former PASOK guards fiercely protect. We know very well that historically nothing has ever been won bloodlessly without a struggle." Unquote. The initial piece we read was more personable, but that one and this one are complementary, so reading them both is useful. Maoism is not mentioned here for those who are keeping track. That was a statement regarding the attack by the left-wing parastate.
"Why Christian Anarchists Want to Burn It Down" from Sojourners by Betsy Shirley. Subheading, quote, "Our unwillingness to think beyond current political structures is a failure of Christian imagination, says Jesus-loving anarchists." Unquote. Well, geez. First, last week we have Catholics approving of anarchy, and now this week there's this extremely positive take on Christian anarchists, including history of, current examples in their own words, etc. Quote, "The thought of America crumbling should bring you joy," Wildflower told me in an interview last spring. "As Christian anarchists see it, the problems that exist in our nation, poverty, white supremacy, militarism, economic inequality, and on down the list, are not aberrations in an otherwise good system, but rather inescapable outcomes of any system where some people have been put in power over others. And as people of God, Christian anarchists feel called to dismantle these oppressive systems and create radical alternatives." Unquote. Aside from the pacifism from Shirley, a lot here sounds better than a lot of non-Christian anarchists we all know and hear too much from. Shit. That was right, Christian anarchists want to burn it all down.
Anarchist prisoner Dimitris Chatsvasiliadis' solidarity message for prisoner Anan Yaish from Abolition Media. Chatsvasiliadis is another previous hunger striker, and here he's sending good vibes to a Palestinian activist imprisoned in Iran. He quotes from Yaish, quote, "I swear that I have no intention of being acquitted of the legitimate resistance against the Zionist occupation. The Palestinian resistance is one of the noblest phenomena known to history." Unquote. Chatsvasiliadis' ending list of acknowledgments includes Palestinians, Aaron Bushnell, and Casey Goonan, among others.
statement on the ban from the Anarchist Book Fair Amsterdam 2025 by OVS from Forum Voor Anarchisme. This rendition of events by a platformist group about why they were denied space at a book fair could be an accurate story. We all know that organizing groups can be unreasonable and bad at communicating. This account definitely makes it sound like the book fair organizers are being unreasonable, but even on the face of it, it seems clear that there's stuff going on that is not being acknowledged here. Usually this kind of smoky reasons for rejecting some group is more like personal beef that is being hidden under policy language. Final word, don't know enough about the people or groups involved to weigh in here. I hate it when that happens.
Obituaries, Freddie Bear, noted anarchist artist, 1952-2025, from freddiebear.com. A sweet memorial, definitely wins for most hyperlinks in any A-News obituary so far. Seems fitting, given her many interests, and many years of making things for people to look at, read, wear, etc. Quote, however you knew Freddie, you probably knew her strong opinions and wicked sense of humor, as well as her quirkiness and kindness, unquote. I learned about her from the many covers of Ajota magazine that she did. She sounds fun.
Audio and video. Anarchy Radio, 25 November 2025. From Anarchy Radio. 57 minutes. Doom Granddaddy is still disappointed in everyone. Except the people who call into his show. One caller brought a little anarchy this week. At least, kinda.
Hello, this is Chichi.
And Donnie fucking don't.
And the topic of the week is Wither Theory. And it was posted on November 23rd, 2025. And it was sent by Anonymous from Southeast. Okay.
All right. Topic of the week. In my local anarchist scene, anarchist theory and tendencies aren't often discussed. There's the obvious anarchist positions against capitalism, Marxism, and bigotries. But beyond that, not much to say about theory of change, discussing the varieties of anarchist ideas, or even discussing the, quote, big names of anarchy, Bakunin, Kropotkin, Malatesta, Goldman, Bookchin, Aragorn, or Zerzan. In fact, after a recent meeting, it was suggested to avoid centering particular anarchist beliefs, i.e. anything beyond capitalism, fascism, Stalinism, and bigotry are bad. This is because a statement such as fuck parentheses person or idea may be interpreted by new folks as fact and not opinion. This is no shade on my people. I appreciate them deeply, and some private context at least makes it somewhat understandable. 3 years ago, I never could have imagined associating with such a space. I've always interpreted avoidance of theory as cowardly, anti-intellectual, and boring. That isn't to say I imagined my anarchist scene as armchairs, but a space for the interaction of theory and practice. The whole idea to me is that you act on a theory, and if it works, it reinforces your theory. And if the action failed, go back to the drawing board of theory. Theory and action. Action and theory. Not only did I not foresee my future, and now present, anarchist scene relating to theory in such an avoidant way, I didn't expect I'd be this way either. I always imagined my theory of anarchism as a strong insurrectionist, anti-civilization one. Now I focus on political education and fundraising around migrant issues and the occasional cool protest. I'm not happy with where I've ended up. It's confusing, because now I hardly read that theory, or any theory. I'm too busy with this good work. My town has seen increasing ICE activity, and I took up with fellow anarchists a rapid response and outreach project. Where is the end civ in that? One friend said to see the inherent anarchist position of an anti-border, freedom movement, fuck 12 activity like this. But it still feels disappointing. Maybe part of it is the scene. Me and one or two others hold these anti-civ views. It is best for us to avoid the topic of civilization and technology at all, for the sake of not being called genocidalists. Regardless, is that a good enough excuse to avoid putting theory to practice, or even possibly compromising your values? The education and outreach project I've engaged in, I helped found on an explicitly anarchist basis. No discourse on criminal immigrants or ideas that about think of the economic impact. Still, how is this really different from the leftist anarchism I've historically fought against? Is it a personal weakness, or do others find themselves in a similar position? Brooding questions. 1. Is there a gap between theory and practice in your life? 2. How does your local anarchist scene utilize theory in their daily practice, if at all? And 3. How has your personal understanding of the relationship between theory and practice changed? A lot there.
Yeah. Before we enter on the questions, I was thinking that there is something about this article that it's not the person, like the moment we're living in right now, it's a very weird moment. Of course, we had other weird moments in history, but the thing like that this person is feeling like taken and super busy, I forgot the word, with all the what the person called the good works. Is I think that sometimes things that are happening around us do take a lot of energy. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be like that forever. And sometimes, like, you feel some sense of urgency. And I think it's a great thing that this person at least stopped, like, for a few minutes or half an hour or 1 hour. I don't know how long it takes for this person to write this. But it is, like, they stop and thought about what's going on. And they might not even think that what they wrote anymore, because that's one thing I think about writing or discussing. You can start with something, but your ideas like are moving, are in the process, and you are just figuring out what is this thing that it's bothering you, like all. And anyway, so I see some merit in doing that. And at the same time, I wouldn't worry as much. I mean, this person know better than, but I don't think it's that worrisome. Like, yeah, sometimes some things take over in your life, and it's good. Like, if this person is even thinking about it, it seems to me it's not going to be a forever issue, you know? It's, I don't know, I just wanted to say that maybe because I feel very overwhelmed lately with not exactly that, but a lot of things going on, and yeah. I don't know, what this post brought to you?
Dear Sad in the Southeast, I think if you have three people in your scene that share your perspective, that is a solid number of people for a shadowy anarchist cabal that could easily pitch your own ideas and test your own theories within the context of what the other people around you are doing. If the people in your scene don't want you to talk about theory, I mean, if they realize you're talking about theory, then maybe you're not talking about it well. Good theory, when discussed well, I think sounds like conversation regarding, again, tactics and theory of change, you know, like it references here. And I guess, yeah, I think people only pick up on the fact that you're like talking theory, or however you want to put it, when you're referencing authors and buzzwords like biopolitics or anti-civ or whatever. I think framing things outside of that is the way that I've always tried to approach that. And similarly, testing theory in practice and practice in theory, I mean, that's simply saying to the people that you're working with, hey guys, what we're doing isn't working. Or maybe what you're doing is working. In which case, someone there had a theory that is being tested. And in practice, it is.